I heard a story about a man who was traveling home one night, and he walked the same path every night from his work all the way back to his house. And the path that he took every night took him through a graveyard. And on this particular night, as he was traveling from his work back home, it was dark, and he was walking the same path that he had walked so many times, but there was a new grave that had been dug, and he fell in. And the grave was 7 feet deep, and no matter how hard this man tried to get out of that situation, to get out of that grave, he couldn't do it. And hour after hour after hour, as he tried to get out, his will was broken and broken and broken, and finally he gave up and sat down at the bottom of the grave waiting for daylight. Several hours later, there was a man who was out hunting, and he always hunted the same place, walked on the same path, but there was this new grave that had been dug, and as he was out hunting, he fell into the same grave, and he tried and he tried and he tried to get out hour after hour, but he couldn't get out. And finally, after trying and trying and trying, the other man who had fallen in, who had sat quietly in the corner watching this man struggling to get out, reached over, touched him on the shoulder, and said, "Friend, you'll never get out of here." But he did. And some of you will get that in the parking lot. I have here a pause for laughter, so I'm going to pause. And then continue. Our passage today is about deliverance. And sometimes all of us find ourselves in situations that we never think we're going to get out of. And sometimes it takes someone scaring the you-know-what out of us to get us out of that situation and do what we never thought we could do. And the passage that we come to today from Acts, the 12th chapter, is a passage of God's miraculous and mysterious deliverance in the life of one of his followers. And so what I want to do is read the passage, and then I've got several thoughts that I want to share to you about what it means for God to deliver you and how he works today in delivering his people and rescuing them from difficult circumstances. This is Acts, the 12th chapter, and this is the story of Peter. It begins this way. "About that time, Herod, the king of Israel, put violent hands on some who belonged to the church." In other words, he got violent with those who were following Jesus. "And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews for him to persecute the church, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And they had seized him and put him in prison, Peter, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending that after the Passover, they would bring him out to the people. And so Peter was kept in prison by earnest, and during that time, the church made earnest prayer for him to be delivered. Now when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains between two guards before the door that they were guarding in the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in his cell, and he struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, 'Get up quickly,' and the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, 'Peter, dress yourself and put on your sandals.' And so he did. And he also said to him, 'Wrap yourself in a cloak and follow me.' And when he had followed him away, he did not know what was being done by the angel, but thought he was dreaming. And when they had passed the first and second guard, then they came to an iron gate leading out of the city, and it opened for them on its own accord. And they went out and went along the street, and immediately the angel left Peter. And when Peter came to himself, he said, 'Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all the Jewish people from doing what was expected to be done.' And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of Mark, where many were gathered in the church praying. And he knocked on the door, and a girl answered, recognizing Peter's voice. In her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran and reported to all the others that Peter was there." I love that she leaves him standing at the door, locked out of the house, to go tell everybody else that he's been delivered. And they said to her, "You're out of your mind, you're crazy. There's no way that Peter could be there. But she kept insisting, and so they kept saying, it's not Peter, it's his angel. But Peter continued to knock, and when they had opened the door, they saw that it was him, and they were amazed. But he motioned to his hand for them to be quiet, and he told them and recounted to them how God had sent his angel and brought him out of prison, delivering him. And he said, tell these things to the brothers and to James. And then he departed to another place. This is such an important passage because in chapter 13 that we'll begin to talk about next week, the whole story of Acts begins to shift out of Jerusalem and into Samaria and Judea and the rest of the different places that all the missionary journeys and places that the apostles would be sent out. But during this time, the church was being persecuted in such a strong way. Stephen had been killed in Acts, the 8th chapter. James is killed at the beginning of this chapter, and Peter is going the next morning to be killed. So one by one, a lot of these mainstay apostles and people who had traveled with Jesus and were telling the message of Christ were being killed. And God comes and miraculously delivers Peter out of this experience. And I want to talk just for a couple of minutes about the process that God uses to deliver us, because many of you, you may not find yourself in the situation that Peter was in, or in a grave, not able to get out. But many of you might feel like you're in a situation that it doesn't seem like it's going to change, and it doesn't seem like God is interested in delivering you out of. And I want to talk specifically because I think part of the process of understanding how God works in this is to understand what deliverance is and how exactly that happens. And so I want to talk for a couple minutes about the process of deliverance from this passage. The first way that God delivers us, and if you have a pen, I encourage you to write this down because it's important for us to remember this. The first way that God delivers us and the process of what happens is God delivers us out of trials. Now, sometimes God will remove the trial from us and take it away and miraculously do what only He can do, and we're not in the trial anymore. And that's what we would all pray for, right? That when we're going through difficult things at home or at work or whatever, that God would just take the trial and the difficult things away. And if I'm honest, a lot of times my prayers are centered around this first part of how God can deliver us, is that God would just take the trials away. And sometimes God does. Throughout all the way from Genesis to Revelation and now today, in the story God's continuing to write, God sometimes will just miraculously move a situation or a person or a trial from us in a way that only He could, and we can't explain it, and that happens. So God certainly delivers us out of trials sometimes where they just go away. Now, here's the second part of that. Sometimes God removes the trial. Sometimes God removes us from the trial. Now, I mentioned to you some of the guys who had been executed. And part of this passage, and I don't really take a lot of pleasure in preaching this part of the passage, but part of being faithful to preach the entire scriptures is also not skipping over the hard verses. James was killed. Peter wasn't. I can't explain to you why one man was delivered in one way and why another man was delivered in a different way. And we know that James was a follower of Christ and that certainly he was ushered right into the presence of God after his death. But God chose to allow that to happen to James. He didn't cause it, but he allowed it to happen and delivered him from that situation by his death. I've preached a lot of funerals. I've preached a lot of funerals of people who have lived a long, healthy, vibrant life. I've preached a lot of funerals for people who haven't. It's been difficult to come home on days of preaching funerals of children, of teenagers, of young people who haven't really lived a full life. And I can't explain to their family, their parents, exactly why their death came when it came. But one of the things that I do believe is that for those of us who are followers of Jesus, and for children who are at an age where they're under the sovereign grace of Christ, and I can't explain that people are ushered into the presence of God. And one of the passages that I normally share at a funeral for someone who hasn't lived a full life is Isaiah 57, verses 1 through 2. And the passage essentially says that the righteous man is sometimes delivered from calamity. That in God's sovereignty, God can see the entire parade from start to finish. We're afloat on the parade. God can see the whole thing from start to finish. And sometimes in God's sovereignty and God's grace, the scriptures tell us that God sometimes will remove some of his saints from trials and take them out of them so they don't have to experience further calamity. Now, that wouldn't be our preference, and sometimes that doesn't give us any comfort in the moment of grieving the loss of someone who loses their life early, but the scriptures teach that clearly, that part of the process of deliverance is that sometimes God will deliver his people from a situation, and sometimes that means death. Because God has a different perspective on death than we do. The scriptures tell us that precious is the death of God's saints in his eyes. Not meaning that God brings about that in our life or desires for death to come, but sometimes God will deliver us in that way, and that it's a precious thing because then those people are brought to him in eternity with him. And I know, I want to say this now because I know this is like really, we just went from the shallow end of the pool into the deep end of the pool very quickly in the message. But I want to say this to you, that for those of you who have lost loved ones early in their life, through sometimes very bad situations and circumstances and choices that sometimes they participated in, sometimes they didn't, that sometimes, I'm not God, but sometimes God will deliver his saints and people out of a situation early in their life to deliver them from further calamity and destruction that God sees that will happen to them that we can't see. And I wish I could just explain every situation perfectly to you and how that works. I can't. But I can tell you that that's what the scriptures teach, and that part of the process of deliverance sometimes is God removing his people from circumstances. James was killed. Stephen was killed. And there's really no explanation other than the fact that God chose sovereignty to allow that to happen to further his kingdom. One of the things that people have said through the years is in Acts 1:8, when we talked about that passage, the first passage we looked at in this series of go into all the world and preach the gospel in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth and Jerusalem as well. And part of the reason some people say that some of the persecution came to the church was that if Acts 8:1, where Stephen is stoned, didn't happen, then Acts 1:8 wouldn't have happened to go into all the world. But God allowed persecution to come to them to spread them out and to spread the gospel. So one of the ways that God brings deliverance in our lives sometimes, and believe me, I don't take pleasure in necessarily preaching this part of it, but it is part of God's truth, is that God will sometimes deliver us out of situations. And sometimes that means removing the trial, and sometimes that means removing the saint from the situation. The second way that I think God does work in a process of deliverance for all of us is that God delivers us through trials. God will take us through those trials. It doesn't mean that the trials are necessarily go away, but God will be faithful to deliver us and move us through the trial so we progress through that place. And this is the deal of if you think about trials and different things and difficult circumstances in your life as a storm, you know, a lot of times it is just putting your head into the wind and walking. And I wrote down here in my notes, sometimes it's just doing the next right thing. It's taking the next right step. And I know that for me, a lot of times I want the trial to be over. I want the storm to be over. I want it to stop raining, to stop hailing, to stop lightning, all that stuff. I want it to be over with. And sometimes what God asks me to do in the process of deliverance, because we play a role and participate in the process of it, is to take the next step forward. And to trust that through the storm, through all the things that are going on in my life, that God is going to be faithful to bring deliverance to me. Yesterday, we did this serve event at Piney Grove Elementary, and I'm walking out the door to go, and I had mentioned to our son Jackson that maybe I would take him with me, but I hadn't promised that. As I'm getting ready to walk out the door, I'm putting my shoes and everything on and getting ready to leave, and Jen is talking about, hey, while you're gone, we're going to bake some cookies, and we're going to do some different things, all this stuff, and the girls are really excited about that. Maren is putting her apron on, all that kind of stuff, and I just kind of looked at Jackson and said, hey, man, you want to go with me and go cut up stuff and do man stuff and do all kinds of stuff like that at Piney Grove? And that dude was like, you know, grabbing his shoes. He got his belt. He had his jacket. He's, you know, he's literally got everything in his hands and is running to the door with me to go on this serve thing. And you know, sometimes it feels like that in the process of deliverance, like, you know, where God kind of goes, hey, you want to get out of this? And, oh, you know, you're grabbing your shoes, you're grabbing just everything in your hands, your clothes, and running, you know, to just get out of it. And sometimes, and hear me on this, sometimes it's not a deal where just because God is promising you to get you out of the trial, or maybe some of you have felt like the Lord has promised me that I'm going to be delivered from the situation or this relationship, or I've heard from God, I know that I'm going to come out of this. But sometimes it is still through the whole process that God is, it's a process of delivering us out of it. And what I mean by that is, even though Jackson's got all this stuff on me, I did say, you know, you need to, you know, put your shoes on, put your shirt on, put your belt on, get your stuff, let's pack you a snack, let's get you ready, and then let's go. And in this passage that we just read, it says that as Peter is in the prison, he's sleeping, number one. This is amazing. This guy's going to be executed the next day. He's sound asleep, sleeping like a baby. The angel comes and appears in his cell. Okay? God appears in your bedroom through an angel, and glory is all around. And what does the passage say? Peter's sleeping, still sleeping. And it says that the angel had to strike Peter. I don't know what that means, if he hit him upside the head, if he nudged him. I'm not sure exactly what that meant, but this, it says the angel struck Peter to wake him up. And he says, watch this, get up, stand up on your feet, wake up, put your shoes on, put your cloak on, get dressed, and follow me. And sometimes in our trials, it's a matter of, again, taking that next step. Wake up. Realize what God is doing in your life. Wake up to that. Stand up. And interestingly, in the passage here, you can go back and read it for yourself. Tell them we said hi. Stand up. I hate it when that happens because I always bring my phone in places, and I'm with you because I do that all the time. Stand up, and when he says stand up to him, what does the passage say? Peter's chains fell off. And sometimes you got to stand up in order for the chains to fall off. There is a participation that you play in the role of God delivering you. And sometimes it is doing that next right thing or that next thing that God's called you to in order to bring deliverance in your life. If Peter would have stayed asleep and would not have stood up, I don't know if the chains would have fallen off. But God is faithful to wake him up, to tell him to stand up, and he does. The chains fall off. He puts his sandals on. He puts his clothes on. And the angel says, follow me, taking those steps of deliverance. And so it's through the trial sometimes that God will be faithful in process, step after step after step, to bring us to a place of deliverance. And lastly, the process of deliverance. Not only does God sometimes deliver us out of and through, but also in. This isn't a fun one either. Sometimes the process of deliverance happens in the trial and in the storm. And sometimes God asks you to wait in the storm to allow his deliverance to come in a way that only it can come. And sometimes the deliverance is about you and not about the circumstance. It's about delivering your very soul much more than it is delivering you into a place of comfort. Please hear me in the right way. The purpose of your relationship with Christ is not comfort. The purpose of your relationship with Christ is for you to grow in him and to glorify him and to move forward in your relationship in that way. But a lot of times that doesn't always mean comfort. In fact, Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble and difficulties of many kinds, but take heart because I've overcome the world. And so sometimes it's right smack dab in the middle of the circumstance, in the middle of the difficult thing, that God is performing his deliverance in you. An example of this is Paul. In 2 Corinthians 12, you can go back and read that passage for yourself. 2 Corinthians 12, Paul says that all these things are going on in my life and I have all these reasons to talk about all the great things that have gone on, but God allowed the enemy to put a thorn in my flesh. Some of you are familiar with this passage. Some of you are familiar with it in your life. God allowed the enemy to put something in me that would remind me to not become conceited. And that's what the passage says. Because of all these wonderful things and all the great things that God was doing in my life, God also allowed there to be difficult things that happened to me and in me in order that I wouldn't become conceited. And the passage says there in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul says, I pleaded with God 3 different times to take this thorn from my flesh. And the answer that I got from God over and over and over again was, my grace is sufficient for you. Sometimes the deliverance that God brings in our life from our trials and circumstances is right in the middle of it. That God is delivering you not from the circumstance, but God is delivering you from your self-reliance. And He's allowing His Spirit to come into you in such a powerful way that you can't deny that He's working in your life. Invariably, if you ask someone, well, you know, how did you come to know God? And for those of you, wherever you are on the spectrum of things, if you're checking God out or you're in the beginning, you've been walking with God for a long time, you ask people, what is your experience of coming to know God or knowing God and coming to that place? Invariably, part of the story will be, a lot of the story a lot of times will be very difficult things. Well, you know, I didn't get that job and I was so depressed and then God met me in that place. Well, this person left me and I was all alone because I had put all of my stock in this relationship and it was through that situation that God delivered me out of that. Or it was through this hurt or habit or hang up or whatever where I finally had to come to the end of myself and realize that I'm really powerless without God to control my life. But invariably, there'll be some kind of difficult circumstance that someone will share as a part of their faith story, a part of their faith journey, where God is faithful to bring them through that and deliver them. But sometimes a part of that process is staying right in the middle of the storm and trusting that God will do His work in and through you in a way that only He can. Another example I wrote down was the classic example of Daniel and Daniel, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, of the three who were thrown into the fire. And oftentimes when I was a kid and I heard that story, it was like, well, why didn't the match just not light? Why didn't the wood just not burn? I mean, God could have done that, but He didn't. And I can't answer why, because I'm not God. But in the midst of the fire, God was faithful to deliver, but it was in the fire. They still went into the furnace. And some of you, where you are today, you're in it. And God is saying to your heart through the scriptures this morning that it might be that you stay in that for a while. And that it's through that, even through your pleading that God would take it away, that God is saying to you, my grace is sufficient for you. And the storms of life and the trials of life, God is faithful to deliver us. Sometimes it's out of, sometimes it's through, and sometimes it's in. But real peace in life, watch this. Watch this right here. Real peace in life does not come through finding a lake with no storms. Real peace in life comes by having Jesus in the boat, even in the midst of the storms. That as Christ is with you, He is faithful to do what only He can do in His time and His way to deliver you from everything, from every circumstances in His time and His place and His way. So here's the bottom line. The deliverance, God's deliverance, and the process of deliverance is always connected with the purpose of deliverance. And when you're going through stuff, it's hard to remember that, but this is the truth of God. That the way that God works, the how, if you will, which is process, how God works and chooses to work in your life is always connected to the purposes for your life. Why? Why is God doing this? Why is God allowing this? What is supposed to happen through these circumstances? And there's two things I want to say about that for the purpose. The purpose of deliverance is this. Firstly, to grow you. A lot of times the trials and difficult things in your life, like I said, are meant to grow you and to encourage you in your faith. It's why James said this. I wanted to read it to you. He said, count it all joy, brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So it's having the right perspective around the purpose for why difficult things happen. And James is saying very clearly that you count it all joy. You're not happy about it, but you're joyful about it because you know that God is working in and through your difficult circumstances and that he is delivering you because he's encouraging your faith and he's helping you to be a person who lacks nothing because of the difficult things that you've been through in your life. So the purpose of your trials is not to beat you down and to punish you. The purpose of them, the reason why God allows trials to come to us, is to grow you and to encourage you in your faith. And secondly, it's to glorify him. It's to grow you, and it's to glorify God. Through all of these things, God is faithful to glorify himself and to bring glory to him. And we talked about last week, if you missed the message, that you are a work of art. You are a masterpiece that God is creating. And one of the things is masterpieces don't get created in a very clean way. It's messy. If you walk into an artist's studio, it's messy. There's paint everywhere. There's stuff all over the place because creating a masterpiece is difficult and messy work. But in all these things, through all this messiness of life, this confusion of life, the hardships of life, that God is crafting and molding you into the person that he wants you to be, and it's for his ultimate glory. Listen to the words of Peter himself. This is the man who was delivered in the story. And so many years later on, as he's writing a letter about his life and faith, these are the words he says. Hear these words in your heart. He says, "In this you rejoice, but now for a little while there are trials. And many of you are grieved by these various trials. But they come so that you may be tested, so that your faith may be genuine, more precious than gold, and that you may be found complete, so that you may give honor and glory to Christ." God is about shaping us, molding us, making us through all the difficult circumstances of our life to glorify and to honor him. And a part of that is growing us, and a part of that is as we're growing in him, that God is bringing glory to our life, that we're sharing our stories, even the difficult, most importantly, the difficult parts of our story, so that God may receive the glory. One of the things that you need to know today, whatever that circumstance looks like for you, whatever that might be, whether it's a relationship, whether it's financial, whatever it is in your life today that you're going through and you're asking God to deliver you from, is that God will be faithful to deliver. He is a deliverer. That's one of his names. But sometimes it looks different than how we pray for it. And I would encourage you this. As I talked about the process of deliverance, that sometimes God delivers you from, sometimes God delivers you through, sometimes God delivers you in, that's important to understand up here. But in here, in your heart, as you're praying during those difficult times, the prayer that all of us should pray, the prayer that I want to pray, I want to get to a place where I can pray it, is more than understanding all the ways that God works and his ways are higher than our ways, more than trying to understand exactly what's going to happen and how God is going to deliver me, that I would wrap my heart around the why, the purpose of the deliverance. And I would pray prayers of, "God, no matter how you choose to deliver me in and through this, would you grow me? Would you grow and test my faith so that I may be found lacking nothing? Would you grow me?" I want to challenge all of us, and I'm raising my hands on this, that as we're going through difficult things and we pray for God to work in specific ways, because a lot of times our prayers are how prayers. "I want you to deliver me because I want you to take this person out of my life, and I want you to help me get this job, and I want you to..." And I'm not saying not to pray for those things, but what I am saying is more than just praying for those specific things and telling God exactly what the play is. You know, "We're going to run this on first down, then I want you to run this play the next time you go long and turn left." More than telling God all how everything's going to work. More than that, praying the prayer of the purpose around it, that, "God, you would grow me, and secondly, that you would bring glory to yourself." Whatever it is in my life and however you choose to deliver me, whether it's from or through or in, whatever you choose to do in your sovereignty, God, I trust you. And I trust the artist's hand in my life. That he is the artist and I'm the clay, I'm the medium. I'm the one who's being worked on. I'm the one who is being created. And that God, through process, is creating me to be a new creation and one that will grow, and not only that, but bring glory and honor to him. Last thing. Whatever those things are in your life right now, and please hear this. Your circumstances, my circumstances, our circumstances, trials, all kinds of difficult things, are not the measure of God's love for you. Your circumstances are not the measure of God's love. The cross is. The cross is the measure of God's love for us. So as we're maybe down in a grave looking up and we can't get out, or maybe we're right in the middle of a storm, or maybe we're trying to take that next step, whatever it looks like for us in our faith, that we keep our eyes on the cross, not forgetting that our ultimate deliverance has already been completed. Our ultimate deliverance from ourselves, from the ways that we were walking, from our ultimate destiny being separated from God, has already been completed. That God on the cross was faithful to express his love and his concern and his sovereignty for us by completing the work that we could not complete. And so, dear friends, we don't have to worry and we don't have to be anxious. That as we're going through these difficult circumstances and it hurts and it's hard, that we keep our eyes on the cross and on Jesus, recognizing that he is the author, he is the perfecter of our faith. To Christ be the glory. Let's pray together.